Frank walked to the edge of the boardwalk and looked out at the man standing in the street. Mid-20s, Frank figured. Tied down gun. Looking for trouble.
I'm Morgan. What do you want?
You.
Why?
To kill you.
I don't know you, boy. Why do you want to kill me?
'Cause you're Frank Morgan, that's why.
You have something against my name, boy?
You know what I mean, Morgan.
I really don't, boy. Perhaps you might explain it.
I heard from the stage driver you was here in town. I come looking for you. Does that make it clear?
No.
Well, what the hell else do you want me to say? Damn, are you dumb or something?
I'm a deputy marshal, boy, not an outlaw. Even if you did succeed in killing me, which you won't do, I can assure you of that, it would only bring you grief. Why don't you get back on your horse and ride out of here?
Step out into the street, Morgan.
I don't have the time nor the inclination to mess around with you, boy. Now go away and leave me alone.
Why would killing you bring me grief, Morgan? I think it would bring me lots of fame and glory. That's what I think, and women, too.
Yeah.
Don't you laugh at me, Morgan. Don't you do it. I won't stand for that. No, sir, I won't tolerate none of that.
Well, now, boy, I sure wouldn't want to do anything to make you angry.
Are you funnin' with me, Morgan?
You might call it that.
A crowd had gathered on both sides of the street, staying well out of the line of fire if gunplay should occur.
I'm ready to kill you, Morgan.
What's your name, boy?
Ben Hampton. Why?
As I have said so many times, Ben, to so many men just like you, a man should have his headstone marked.
Huh? The headstone is gonna have your name on it, Morgan. And I'm gonna have the fame and glory of being the man who killed Frank Morgan. What happened to them other men you just mentioned?
They're dead, Ben.
Well, you ain't gonna kill me, Morgan. I'm sure of that. Is there a newspaper in this town, Morgan?
A small weekly, yeah.
I want this wrote up so everybody can read about it.
I'm sure it will be, Ben.
You ready, Morgan?
No, but it's your play, Ben.
Now!
Just as Ben's hand curled around the butt of his pistol, Frank's .45 boomed. The slug slammed into the young man's right shoulder, and he staggered back. He stumbled and fell to the street, landing on his butt. He had pulled his six gun from leather on the way down.
Oh, God! I done shot myself! Oh, Lord! I blowed my own foot off!
Ben reached for his six gun again just as Frank approached and kicked the pistol away, out of Ben's reach.
You've had enough, boy.
God damn you!
Sheriff Davis and his deputies had walked out of the hotel to stand on the boardwalk and witness the entire affair. Doc Evans came out of his office, carrying his medical bag. He walked out into the street. The doctor knelt down beside the wounded young man, took one look, and called to a group of men standing on the boardwalk in front of the Bluebird Cafe.
Some of you boys carry this man over to my office, please. Hurry. He's bleeding badly.
I ain't got no foot, Doc.
Oh, your foot's still there. But you're gonna be minus several toes for sure.
I'm a cripple.
But you're alive, son. And that's more than most men who braced Frank Morgan can say. Take him to the examining room. And pull what's left of that boot off his foot, please.
This is gonna hurt something awful, ain't it, Doc?
It isn't gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh, God!
That was good shooting, Frank. You could have killed him.
I didn't want to kill him, Doc.
Well, let me go wash up. I got some cutting and sawing to do.
Sounds like a wonderful way to start the day.
Well, this is a cakewalk compared to my time in the Army during the war.
I imagine so.
Did you see a lot of action, Frank?
I was at Gettysburg and Antietam, to name only a couple of battles.
Enough said. See you, Frank.
We'll be heading out after breakfast, Frank. My men are provisioning up now.
Good luck finding your sister, Sheriff.
I think you're the fastest gun hand I've ever seen, Frank, and I've seen some of the best. Did you deliberately place that shoulder shot?
Yeah.
Incredible shooting. See you in a few days.
Luck to you, Sheriff.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
You might have been hurt.
I wasn't.
He could have killed you.
He didn't.
Frank, are you always this matter-of-fact after a life-and-death situation?
Laura, I've been in 100 gunfights over the years. I haven't come out of all of them unscathed, but but I'm still alive.
Unscathed. Frank, you don't talk like a gunfighter.
How does a gunfighter speak, Laura? I've known gunslicks who were illiterate, and I've known some who were educated men. John Holliday, for one, he was called Doc. Then there was Cold Chuck Johnny, Blackjack Bill, Dynamite Sam, Dark Alley Jim, Six-Toed Pete. There are dozens of gunfighters still around, Laura. Some can't read or write. Others have fine educations.
And the young man who confronted you just a few minutes ago?
I don't know, Laura. I never saw him before today.
Yet he wanted to kill you. Why?
For a reputation, Laura. He wanted to be known as the man who killed Frank Morgan.
I would love to go back east, Frank. Back to civilization. Would you like to go back east?
Not particularly, Laura. I'm a Western man. Born and bred out here. I'd be as out of place in the east as a fish out of water.
You could change your life.
No, I couldn't. But don't think I haven't thought about it. I have. I'm a known gunfighter, Laura. The genteel folks would look at me like a scientist looks at a bug. That wouldn't feel right without a gun. The folks don't carry guns in the East, not legally anyway. You got uniformed police officers on every corner in New York City. But yet, from what I read, New York City still has a lot of crime. I think every place that has disarmed the citizens has seen a rise in crime. That's not for me. I don't want to be dependent on someone to protect me, as I usually don't. I can protect myself.
You might change your mind, Frank.
Don't count on it.
Laura smiled and stepped off the boardwalk, heading back to the hotel. Frank went to the livery and saddled Stormy. He swung into the saddle.
Come on, Wolf. You need some exercise. Let's hit the trail for an hour or so.
On the way out of town, Frank saw Marshall Wright walking toward the cafe.
I'm going for a ride, Tom. I'll be back in a couple hours. Unless I come up on something that I think I need to check out.
Be careful, Frank. The Simpsons spread damn near circles of town. Get on that range and you'll be a target.
I'll keep that in mind.
Tom didn't know it, but Frank had carefully studied maps of the country around the town and knew very well the boundaries of the Simpson Range. He would avoid the range if possible, but if he needed to cross any part of that range, he would do so, and if Big Ed Simpson didn't like it, he could go to hell.
What the hell am I gonna do about Laura? Lord knows I don't need a woman in my life right now.
Frank spotted the approach of several riders, heading straight toward him. He reined up and waited, his right hand near the butt of his peacemaker. Frank had seen the men in town and had had them pointed out to him. Three Simpson hands.
Morning, boys.
You ain't got no authority outside of town.
Wrong. Since the county sheriff's office is a hard 2-day ride from town, Marshal Tom is a county deputy, and so am I.
Well, that don't mean horse shit to us. What are you doing out here?
What I'm doing is none of your damn business.
Watch that dog. If he makes a jump, shoot him.
And 1 second later, the shooter will be dead. And 2 seconds after that, the other two will be dead.
Huh? You kill a man over a damn dog?
You'd hang a man for rustling one of your herd of cattle or stealing a horse, wouldn't you?
Well, I reckon so.
You boys go on about your business, and I'll go on with mine. Have a nice day.
Frank lifted the reins and rode on without looking back. Wolf silently padded along beside him.
Some folks just don't seem to like you, Wolf. Might be your general attitude. You have to work on that some, I reckon. What do you say about it?
Wolf walked over to a bush and relieved himself.
My sentiments exactly.
Frank rode on, deliberately cutting onto Simpson land. He rode for a couple of miles, enjoying the peace and quiet of the morning. Cattle grazed all around him, fat and sleek on the grass. Wolf suddenly broke into a short run, getting a few yards in front of Stormy and stopping. Frank quickly reined up, knowing that the big cur had sensed danger. He looked all around him, but could see nothing.
All right, Wolf, we'll play it your way.
Frank headed into the thick timber and swung down, ground reining Stormy. He pulled his rifle from the scabbard and knelt down behind a tree, waiting. Wolf came to his side and bellied down. Frank heard the riders before he saw them. The one in the lead was Little Ed Simpson. Directly behind him was a man with his hands tied behind his back. Behind him rode the three Simpson hands.
This tree'll do. We'll hang the sodbuster right here.
No, you won't, Ed.
Little Ed and the hands from the Simpson Ranch froze in their saddles as they looked at Frank standing with his .44-40 rifle pointed at them.
You don't have no authority out here, Morgan.
Wrong, Ed. I've got authority anywhere in this county. Now cut that man loose.
You go to hell, Morgan.
Any of you start trouble, you get the first bullet, Ed. Now cut that man loose.
One of the Simpson hands swiftly released the bound man.
Right over here to me, but don't get between us. Come on.
My paw will kill you for this.
I doubt it. Who are you, and what brought all this on?
I was sitting on my front porch having a cup of coffee with my wife. These men come up, slapped my wife around, and tied me up like a hog for slaughter. Said they was gonna hang me for stealing cattle. Now, Deputy, I ain't never stole nothing in my life. This has all got to do with Big Ed Simpson's land grab. He wants all the land in this area.
What about that, Ed? What proof do you have this man stole cattle from you?
I don't need no damn proof. He was seen on our land. That's good enough for me.
I was hunting game. Nothing more than that. Up until a few weeks ago, the land I was on belonged to Paul Hansen. Big Ed's hands run him and his family off and took the land. Now, that's the truth. Are you really Frank Morgan?
Yes.
Heard you was in town. Couldn't believe it.
You want to press charges?
Well, would it do any good?
Sure it would.
Then I'll press charges.
Ed, you and your hands drop your guns on the ground. Do it carefully.
Hell with you, Morgan!
A Simpson hand grabbed for his pistol.
Anyone else want to get antsy? Drop your guns on the ground. Do it right now, and do it slowly.
Pistols were carefully pulled from leather and tossed to the ground.
Now what, Morgan?
Gather up their guns, Farmer. Carefully, including the rifles. You, dismount and tie that dead man across his saddle. Snug him down good and tight. What's your name, mister?
Asher. George Asher.
Well, George, you keep that rifle on those old boys while I do something. If they try anything funny, shoot to kill. Can you do that?
With a great deal of pleasure, Mr. Morgan.
I bet that's the truth for sure.
Frank wrapped up the guns in a blanket and tied that behind his saddle. Once more mounted, he waited until the body of the dead man was secure.
Now we go to town. Lead off, boys.
What about my wife, Morgan? She thinks I've been hung.
Your place far from here?
About 2 miles.
We'll swing by there and get her. Kids?
4. 2 boys and 2 girls.
We'll take them to town, too. I'll treat them to some peppermint candy.
Oh, kind of you.
Move out, boys. You all have a date with a jail cell.
You gotta get us there first, Morgan.
I'll get you there, Ed. Or I'll kill you, one or the other.
Little Ed shut his mouth and kept it shut. Practically everyone in town turned out to see the sight, alerted by a group of young boys who had been fishing in a creek just outside of town. Mrs. Asher was driving the wagon, her 2 boys in the bed of the wagon, the 2 girls sitting on the seat with her. Following the wagon were little Ed and his 2 live hands, the dead one belly down across his saddle. Bringing up the rear of the parade were Frank and George.
You going to jail again, little Ed?
Go to hell!
They tried to hang me.
Hang you? Why, Mr. Asher?
They caught me hunting on Simpson land and said I was there to rustle cattle.
Get a rope! Let us have a hanging of our own!
Good idea, Ralph!
Get us into jail, Morgan. These people are crazy.
Crazy? Why, for wanting to hang you? Isn't that what you were planning to do with Mr. Asher? Get down and get into the jail, boys.
Marshal Wright had stepped outside when the crowds began to gather, a shotgun in his hands.
Get him inside, Frank. That crowd is getting a mite ugly.
Yeah, we sure wouldn't want to lynch him now, would we?
You gotta protect us! That's your sworn duty!
Oh, shut up, Ed. And get in the jail.
My paw'll be here for long, with our crew. By God, then he'll show you who's boss around here.
Right, Ed. Keep hoping.
He'll kill you, Morgan.
Is killing the only thing you ever think about?
Now go fuck yourself.
Relax, Ed. Take a nap. The rest'll do you good.
Hell with you, Morgan!
Frank closed the door to the cell block and walked into the office. The Asher family was telling Tom what had happened at their farm. Tom was taking notes. Frank poured a cup of coffee and sat down.
Little Ed slapped you, Mrs. Asher. That's how you got that bruise on your face?
Yes, sir.
Bastard.
Beg pardon, Marshal?
Nothing, George. Just talking to myself.
And the hands threatened to strip Amanda and, well, you know.
They said that in front of the girl?
Yes, sir.
Keep that to yourselves. How old is the girl now, George?
13 last month.
Tom cut his eyes to Frank, and Frank nodded his head in understanding at the silent glance. Threatening to strip naked and assault a good woman was bad enough, but to threaten to do that to a young girl would be enough to cause the locals to riot and charge the jail. Tom wrote down the rest of Asher's story, and the farmer and his wife both signed it.
No bond for this, Frank.
Tom closed the ledger and put it away in the safe.
But you can bet broke ribs or not, Big Ed will be coming into town, raising hell about his son.
And little Ed's mother?
Lord, I hope not. Not that foul mouth hellion.
I'm going over to O'Malley's and get some candy for the kids, Tom.
Get some for me, too, while you're at it.
Frank bought a sack full of various types of hard candy for the kids and a big peppermint stick for Tom. The kids and Tom were delighted. Tom immediately started sucking on the peppermint stick.
You folks hungry?
I could eat. How about you, Mother?
Tom?
This'll do me till noonin'.
While the Ashers ate an early lunch, Frank had coffee.
How many of the farmers will stand up against the Simpson crew?
Oh, near about all that's left will, I reckon. Them that didn't have the stomach for it have already been buffaloed and pulled out.
Stock up on ammo and watch for night riders. And I'll have a chat with Big Ed about any more rough stuff. Your meal's on me. I'll see you later.
Much obliged, Mr. Morgan.
Walking along the boardwalk, Frank noticed a man wearing a very natty suit and bowler hat putting up posters. He stopped to read one. An opera company was coming to town. They would be performing arias from operas whose names Frank could not pronounce and wouldn't even try.
You have to see the show, Deputy. It's a good one. We just finished 2 sellout weeks in San Francisco.
Is that right?
Certainly is. I'm proud and happy to say that we're bringing sophistication to the once Wild West.
Do tell.
Absolutely. Do you like opera music?
Can't say one way or the other. Never been to an opera concert.
You'll enjoy it. I guarantee it. Here, let me give you these.
The man reached into his suit pocket and handed Frank a couple of tickets.
You and a friend come to the show on us. Is that fair, Deputy?
Sounds fair to me. Thanks.
Don't mention it. Just enjoy the music and the singing.
I'm sure I will.
Frank walked on, cutting across to the hotel. He saw Laura sitting in the lobby reading the local newspaper. He took a seat beside her and she smiled at him. The smile brightened his entire day.
Morning, Frank.
Laura.
I saw you bringing in little Ed and some of his hands. One across his saddle.
Yeah.
Frank told Laura about the incident.
How horrible for the Asher girl.
Keep what I said to yourself, please. I don't want a lynching in town.
I won't say a word. Who would I say it to? Most women in this town won't even speak to me.
They're lost, Laura.
Frank told her about the opera company coming to town and showed her the tickets.
Would you like to attend?
With you, Frank?
Well, sure.
I would love it. That will really set tongues wagging.
Let 'em wag. We haven't done anything wrong.
Yet.
Yeah. Yet.
Frank looked up the street at the sound of many horses. A dozen Simpson riders were riding into town, a half dozen in front of a buggy, a half dozen behind. Big Ed Simpson and a woman were in the buggy.
Stay in the hotel, Laura. Big trouble just rode in.
Frank stepped out onto the boardwalk.
You, I want to talk to you.
Right here, Simpson.
You get my son out of jail.
You go straight to hell, Ed.
God damn your hide, you bastard. You interfering son of a bitch. I'll make you wish you'd never been...
Oh, shut up, Ed. You're making a fool of yourself.
Are you gonna let him get away with that, Ed? Tell that ornery fucker to kiss your goddamn ass and tell him to go get our son out of that damn jail.
Elsie Simpson, She'd be a real pretty woman if it wasn't for that chamber pot of a mouth.
Frank nodded his head in agreement, keeping his eyes not on Big Ed, but on his hands, who had all lined up abreast in the street, six on each side of the buggy, all facing Frank. They were all hard cases, all of them, and Frank knew many of them. They had all been staying in town when Frank had arrived. Now he knew where they'd gone. They were gunslingers, but Frank knew that once they signed on, they, by God, rode for the brand.
Your boy tried to hang a man, Ed.
Frank watched Marshall Wright quietly ease up the boardwalk on the other side of the street. He carried a greener in his hands.
And assault a young girl.
That's a damn dirty lie! My son's a good boy!
Well, your good boy is in jail, and he's gonna stay in jail.
The hell he will, you two-bit piece of sheep shit!
If I turn my boys loose on you, Morgan, you'll be shot to bloody bits. I'd think about that if I were you.
And when your boys drag iron, I'll blow you and your bad mouth wipe all to hell and gone.
The gun hands all stiffened in their saddles at the cold sound of Tom's voice. Big Ed and Elsie slowly turned their heads to look at him.
Oh, hell, that fat ass ain't gonna do a damn thing. He's a big mouth tub of guts, that's all.
Try me, Elsie. Just try me.
Shut your damn flapping mouth, woman, and keep that trap closed tight.
Talk to me like that!
Shut up, goddammit, before you get us all killed!
And when your boys pull iron, I'll kill at least two, maybe three of them before they get me. You, Idaho, I'll kill you first, then Handy, then Curly. So if you boys are ready, make your play.
Now, just wait just a damn minute here, Morgan.
No, you wait just a damn minute, Ed! I got me a gun, too, and I, by God, know how to use it!
All right, Morgan. What's next?
You and your wife go on back home and take your hands with you. It's just that simple, Ed.
And what about my son?
He stays in jail until a judge can set a bond for him.
The hell he will!
Now shut up, woman!
Big Ed shoved her out of the buggy. Elsie landed on her butt in the dirt of the street, right in the middle of a pile of horse crap.
You whore!
Whore? You calling me a whore, you pile of pig shit?
Watch your mouth, woman!
Slap me, will ya?
Why, you goddamn...
Big Ed wiped his suddenly bloody lips and slapped Elsie, knocking his wife down into the street. Elsie jumped up and tried to kick her husband in the groin. Ed sidestepped the boot, grabbed her foot, and gave a heave. Elsie sailed backward a few feet and again landed on her butt in the dirt.
You goddamn son of a bitch! I'll show you!
The boardwalks on both sides of the street had filled with locals, all watching and enjoying the show between Big Ed and Elsie.
You son of a bitch!
What the hell's going on out there?
Shut up, you ignoramus!
Is that you, Mama?
It ain't your local preacher's wife, you ninny!
Shut up, boy! We come to take you home!
Don't count on that, Ed! You're staying put till the judge sets your bond. If he sets one, that is.
You ain't keeping my baby in that damn stinking jail, you lard ass! I'll kill you first!
That does it. Tom, if any one of those hands make a move, kill Big Ed.
Hey, now wait just a damn minute.
Frank grabbed Elsie by the shirt collar and the back of her belt and shoved her toward the jail hard. She was propelled across the street, stumbled, and fell flat on her face in the dirt, eating about a peck of dirt as she slid.
You goddamn bastard! You good-for-nothing piece of shit!
Frank grabbed Elsie again and again gave her a hard shove. She went stumbling and staggering to the edge of the boardwalk.
You son of a bitch! I'll kill you, you bastard!
That's two counts of threatening the life of a peace officer. One count of disturbing the peace and one count of disorderly conduct. Keep trying, Elsie. We'll see how long we can keep you in jail.
You're gonna put me in jail? Me?
You.
Frank picked her up bodily and tossed her onto the boardwalk.
Now get your butt in that jail.
You go to hell, you bastard!
Another count of disorderly conduct and another count of disturbing the peace.
You sorry piece of shit, you goddamn fucking son of a bitch!
God's sake, shut the hell up, Elsie! He means it!
Frank jerked the woman into the office, shoved her into the cell block, and tossed her into a cell, slamming the door.
Mama! Hell yes, it's your mama, you nincompoop! That ain't Christopher Columbus!
Morgan! You can't arrest my mama!
I just did.
But that ain't fitting at all!
Sure ain't, Morgan. This ain't decent. Supposing one of us, or her, has to use the facilities.
I'm about to bust now. I was just reaching for the pot when you brung her in.
Oh, hell! You ain't got nothing I ain't seen plenty of before, lonesome.
Well, I ain't hauling nothing out of my britches and doing it for her. My mama taught me better than that.
Hell with your mama, too!
Morgan, you can't lock up my wife!
I just did.
No, Lord. Here comes that crazy woman again.
Alberta was loping her mule right down the middle of the road, coming directly for Main Street.
Who the hell is that?
You better get out of the way. Everybody, take cover, quick. Here comes Alberta and her shotgun.
What's the matter with that woman? She acts like she's crazy in the head.
She is!
Locals began to scatter in all directions. Horses tied at hitch rails bolted loose and began galloping up the street, wild-eyed from fear. The horse hitched to the Simpson buggy reared up in panic, and the reins hit the ground. The horse took off running.
Whoa, 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 goddammit!
Frank jumped behind a water trough and bellied down.
Val Dooley! Where are you, Val? Double-crossing piece of crap! You better show yourself, Val!
Several gun hands were tossed from their saddles and landed on the dirt of the street. One wheel of the buggy with Big Ed in it hit the side of the boardwalk. And Big Ed was tossed out, landing on his butt in the street. He rolled a couple of times and got to his knees just as Alberta leveled her shotgun at him.
Oh, hell.
Big Ed grabbed for his six gun. It was gone. He had lost it when he fell out of the buggy. The buckshot tore up the street, and Big Ed crawled under the raised boardwalk.
Damn you, Val! Where are you?
One of the Simpson hands tried to rush Alberta and jerk her off the mule.
Crazy bitch!
The woman leveled her shotgun at him and pulled the trigger just as the hand abruptly changed tactics. Most of the buckshot missed him, but a couple of pellets caught the gun hand in the butt. Alberta hit the trail, putting her heels to the mule's sides. A few seconds later, the woman had galloped away out of sight. Frank crawled out from behind the water trough and took a long look around him. No one appeared to have been seriously injured. The horses were settling down. Big Ed crawled out from under the boardwalk.
What the hell happened?
Alberta Davis struck again.
The barber pole, which had taken a blast from Alberta's shotgun, gave up the ghost and fell to the boardwalk.
Oh, hell, I've been shooting ass!
You think this is funny? I lost my pistol. My buggy's a damn wreck. I look like I just survived a damn dust storm. My wife and my son are both in jail. And you think it's funny? I think you're as crazy as a road lizard, Morgan.
Get a doctor, my butt!
Look at it this way, Ed. With your wife in jail, you just might be able to have a few peaceful days at home.
You know, Morgan, sometimes you do make a little sense.
Marshall Wright and a half dozen men he had hurriedly rounded up for a posse rode by.
We'll get her this time, Frank. Be back when you see us. Take care of things.
Well, here's the doc. Is anybody hurt?
I am.
Are you hurt bad?
Shot in the ass!
Anyone else hurt?
No one else that I know of, Doc.
Then come on to my office. I'll take a look at you.
It hurts to move, Doc.
You want me to pull down your trousers right here in the middle of the street and take a look at your bare butt?
Hell no. I'm coming.
Well, come on.
Couple of you boys get him to the doc's office.
You need some help getting into your buggy, Ed?
I got out of it, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And none too gracefully, I might add.
Hell with you, Morgan.
How about a cup of coffee, Frank?
Sounds good to me.
Let me out of this damn stinking shithole of a jail!
Somebody do something with her! I'm about to bust, I got to go so bad!
Frank?
Frank was sitting in the jail when Marshal Wright and his posse returned. They were a tired and dejected-looking bunch.
No good, huh?
That woman is as wily as a fox. You seen her brother?
No, they provisioned up for several days before they left.
Let me out of this smelly-ass jail!
My God, that woman has a foul mouth on her. I honestly don't know what's kept Big Ed from shooting her.
Or her from shooting him.
There is that to consider.
I rigged up some blankets to give everyone some privacy.
Well, I'm sure the men appreciated that more than Elsie did. But you know we're not going to be able to hold her. The charges aren't strong enough for that.
I know. I don't know if there's anything that would embarrass or shock that woman. How about their other kids? No one ever says anything about them.
They were sent back east to school. I think the kids were really glad to leave.
Younger or older than little Ed?
Younger. Boy and a girl.
Did they ever come home for a visit?
Not to my knowledge.
Let's dispense with the greetings and salutations, men, and get right to it. I've been retained to represent Mrs. Simpson and her son.
All right. Duly noted.
Has the bond been set?
Oh, you can have Elsie Simpson now if you want her. Little Ed's bond is going to have to be set by a judge.
Very well. Will you release her now?
Sure. You want to do the honors, Frank?
Gladly.
It's about damn time. I'm gonna get you for this, believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Go on, get out of here.
Bastard! I want to sue these two and this damn town, Witter.
We'll talk about that later, Mrs. Simpson. Right now, it's important for you to join your husband. He's waiting for you at the hotel.
What's he doing over there? Slobbering over your wife?
He's waiting for you, Elsie.
Yeah, right. I'm sure he can't live without me.
Elsie!
All right, John, I'm leaving. You and me, gunslinger, we'll meet again.
I can hardly wait.
What a delightful woman.
She has her finer points.
Name one.
Nice fella.
Salt of the earth, for a fact.
Hey! Hey, what about me?
Relax, boy. You're in here for a spell.
I want to go home, fatso!
You'll see to their supper?
I'll take care of it. After I feed Wolf.
Good enough.
I'm hungry! Where do we get something to eat around here?
Frank fed Wolf and then walked back to the hotel. Laura was waiting for him in the lobby. She took his arm and together they went strolling.
I'm so excited about that opera company coming to town, Frank. I saw the poster on it a few minutes ago. Do you know the arias they'll be performing?
No, I don't.
Laura rattled off a whole bunch of foreign words that sounded to Frank as if she'd just cleared a frog out of her throat.
I beg your pardon?
You're funny, Frank.
I don't know about that. I've been called a lot of things in my life, but never funny. I've been told I don't even have a sense of humor.
Oh, but you do, Frank. You just hide it very well, that's all.
Mrs. Hochstetler lumbered past them, rattling the boardwalk with each footfall, refusing to speak to the couple. She instead averted her eyes and turned up her nose.
I tell you what, if anyone ever told that woman to haul her butt, she'd have to make two trips.
You see what I mean about your sense of humor, Frank?
Oh, just stating a fact, Laura. Let's get over to O'Malley's. He has a suit I want to get.
At O'Malley's, Laura fingered the material for a moment.
Yes, this is quality, Frank. I bet you'll look nice in it.
I'll need a couple of shirts, Mr. O'Malley. One white and one black, and a couple of bandanas.
Make one of them red, and you'll be dressed to the nines, Frank.
Of course, Miss Laura. No problem at all.
The fashionable gunfighter. That's me.
If I have anything to say about it, Frank, your gunfighter days will soon be a thing of the past.
That would truly be a wonderful thing, Laura. But don't count on it.
Why not? Wouldn't you like that?
Of course I'd like it. Thought about it many times. But a man can't run away from his past. Not ever. Not really. It'll almost always rear up and slap him in the face at the most unexpected of times.
You've seen that happen before?
Several times. To friends of mine who tried to quit the business. Two of them were killed because they refused to wear a gun anymore. That won't ever happen to me, Laura. I won't let it happen.
Don't ever say never, Frank. Besides, I have time to work on you.
Laura smiled sweetly at Frank, and he returned the smile. Then together they walked to the store counter, where Frank paid for his purchases.
Did I forget to tell you that your husband is representing Elsie Simpson? He got her out of jail about an hour ago.
That doesn't surprise me one little bit. They've been, seeing each other for several years. Seeing each other is, of course, the nice way of putting it.
John and Elsie?
Oh, yes. And any other female he could lure into bed. Elsie, so I'm told, likes to be roughed up. And I can assure you she gives about as well as she gets. I've seen the bruises on John. John and Elsie are a perfect match. Both of them are twisted.
Good Lord.
Poor Frank. As worldly as you are, things can still shock you, can't they?
I reckon so. I'm a simple man, Laura. I don't like complicated things. I guess I see most things in black and white.
But most matters aren't in black and white.
Unfortunately, that's true. Guess that's why I keep getting into trouble.
Frank was eating supper at the Bluebird Cafe when the single shot echoed up and down Main Street. Frank stepped out onto the boardwalk and stood for a moment, listening. No more shots came, and no one came running up the street. He had no idea where the single shot had originated. Frank went back inside and finished his slab of apple pie and coffee. After he was finished, he started to roll himself a cigarette.
It's Marshal Tom! Come quick, somebody! He's been shot!
Let me through. Please!
Frank ran to the office and shoved his way through the crowd into the building. Doc Evans was kneeling down, bent over Tom, who was sprawled on the floor, the side of his head covered in blood. The doctor looked up at Frank.
He'll be all right, Frank. The bullet just grazed his head and took off a tiny bit of one ear, but he'll have a whopping big headache when he wakes up.
Frank looked into the runaround. Little Ed and the other ES hands were gone.
Damn it.
I figure someone slipped Ed a gun.
From the blood trail, Tom was shot in the cell area, then managed to crawl out here before he collapsed.
Some of you men get Tom over to my office. I gotta clean up this head wound.
I'm heading out after Little Ed. Jack, you pick a few good men and take care of things here in town while I'm gone. I'll be over at your store for a couple of days' provisions as soon as I get saddled up.
I have them ready for you, Frank, including a little coffee pot. Don't worry about the town.
Thanks.
In the livery, as soon as Frank lifted his saddle, Wolf began running in circles, barking. He was ready to hit the trail. Frank reined up in front of the general store, and Jack handed him a burlap bag.
Bacon and fresh baked bread and some beans and a skillet and a small pot, Frank. Good hunting.
Thanks.
Frank headed out of town toward the Simpson spread. Little Ed would head for home range. He was sure of that. If for no other reason than to pick up some money and supplies and a fresh horse. It was an easy hour's ride to the Simpsons' main house. Frank paid very little attention to the startled looks he received from the hands lounging about. He swung down from the saddle, walked onto the front porch, and knocked on the front door. The ES hands began gathering around behind him in the front yard.
Why, what do you want, Morgan?
Your son, Simpson, Little Ed. Where is he?
He's in your jail, you bastard. What are you talking about?
Frank told him, sparing no detail. Elsie had walked up to stand behind her husband.
Shot Tom? Little Ed shot Tom? No way, Morgan. He's dumb, but he's not that dumb.
Yes, he is. He can be as dumb as a sack of rocks. Takes after you in that respect.
Shut up!
Where is he?
We don't know, Morgan. And that's the truth. He didn't come here. At least I don't think he did. Come on, Morgan, walk with me.
The two men, Elsie trailing along, walked to the barn. There, the trio looked at three hard-ridden and put-up wet horses in stalls.
God! Damn it! Miller, Brady, get in here and rub these horses down. Come on, Morgan. When was my son and Vic and Judd here? Answer me, goddammit!
45 minutes ago, Big Ed. They swapped horses and told us not to say nothing to you about it, so we didn't.
Did they tell you what had happened in town?
Just that they broke jail and was on the run.
One of them shot Marshal Tom.
Oh, hell.
Which way they head out? And I want the truth.
South. Little Ed said they was gonna try to make the wilderness and hold up there till you could get them out of this mess.
Oh, dumb. Just plain stupid.
Just like you.
They get in the wilderness, Morgan. You won't get them out.
Oh, I'll bring them back, Ed. Sit in a saddle or belly down across it, but I'll bring them back.
We could have bought off that damn judge. But shooting Marshal Tom, that's bad news. Look, I got a big mouth, Morgan, and a dirty one, I know. But I wouldn't have really put lead in you or Marshal Tom. I might have wanted to, but I wouldn't have. On the other hand, Stupid here, well, that's another story. He probably would have shot you.
Oh, shut the hell up, Elsie!
Oh, kiss my ass.
Don't kill my son, Morgan. I mean that. You don't have to. I mean, he'll be back here when he runs out of grub and money. I'll turn him in then, you have my word.
Ed, I believe you would. But before I left town, word of the shooting was already out on the wires. How many enemies do you have that would enjoy gunning down your son?
All right, Morgan, point taken. Every two-bit street trash in three states will be coming in here looking for Ed. All right, go do your duty as you see it, Morgan. I won't interfere.
I appreciate that, Ed.
Frank stepped back into the saddle and pointed Stormy's head south, toward the area known as the Wilderness, which was a hard 3 days' ride south. He circled around the edges of the Simpson main house until he picked up the trail of three horses heading south. From the bite the horses' hooves were making in the earth, Frank could tell the three were pushing hard.
Keep it up, boys, and you'll kill those horses.
Frank lay back, not pushing Stormy, just following the trail. On a sunny mid-morning, he found where the trio had made camp and cooked a meal. He pressed on, not hurrying, just riding at the same steady pace, stopping often to rest Stormy and give Wolf a chance to catch his breath and rest his paws. On the third day out, Frank studied the sign carefully. One of the horses had a loose shoe, and if the rider didn't catch it soon and fix it, that horse was going to pull up lame. A mile farther on, Frank came upon a man afoot, and the man was plenty mad.
Goddamn sons of bitches, getting so a man can't take a shit without someone stealing a corn cob.
Your horse go lame on you, partner?
The bastard stole my horse about 2-3 hours ago. Come up on me all nice and polite, and then one of them stuck a pistol in my face and took my horse. Took my whole damn rig.
Did they leave you a lamed up horse?
They didn't leave me shit!
You live far from here?
No, a couple of miles is all. What they done just made me mad as hell, that's all.
They're a bad crew. Shot the marshal over a chance.
Who, Tom?
Yeah.
I've been knowing Tom for years. Is he all right?
Yeah, lost part of one ear, but he's all right.
You catch him, outlaws, deputy. But you watch that young'un. He's a bad one, I can tell he is.
I'll catch him. See ya.
So, they were about 3 hours ahead of him. The lamed-up horse had really slowed them down. That would make Frank's job much simpler. He pushed on. An hour later, he came to a crossroads and a general store. Frank reined up by the side of the building, waited while Wolf and Stormy drank from the trough.
You stay put, boy.
Frank took off his badge, stuck it in his pocket, and walked inside. It was a combination store and saloon. No customers were in the general store, but half a dozen rough-dressed men were lounging at the long bar. They all wore pistols, and Frank got the impression they knew how to use them, and would.
I'll have a beer.
The men all gave him a long, careful once-over, then returned to their drinking and talking in low tones.
Come far?
Long ways. Crossed over into California from Nevada, just seeing the country.
There's a lot of it to see, all right. Say, mister, you kind of remind me a lot of somebody, you know that?
Oh.
By God, you sure do resemble Val Dooley.
What's a Val Dooley?
You sure ain't from around here, cowboy, or you wouldn't be asking that.
No, I'm not from around here. What's a Val Dooley?
An outlaw and fast gun.
And ladies' man.
Well, I'm no ladies' man, for a fact.
Does that mean you're a fast gun?
I know how to use one.
You ever been in this part of the country before?
Can't say I have.
I think you have.
Think whatever the hell you want to think. It's a free country, but don't ever call me a liar again.
Or you'll do what?
The man stepped away from the bar and faced Frank, his right hand hovering over the butt of his six gun.
Why, I might take offense. And I'm thinking you wouldn't like that. Not a bit.
You best be careful, Zeke. This old boy thinks he's a bad one.
He just might be at that. I got me a bad feeling about this cowboy. Let it drop, Zeke.
The hell I will!
The man who cautioned Zeke took his beer and moved to a table in the rear.
Now I'm out of it, mister. You hear me?
I hear you.
Maybe he wouldn't be so brave at all facing two of us.
Something funny, mister?
Yeah, Zeke, you. Your kind never changes. I've been running into your kind ever since Luther Biggs braced me when I was about 15 years old.
What happened to him?
I killed him. Then his brothers came after me.
What happened to them?
I killed them. All of them.
You say you done that.
That's right, Zeke. I say.
You got a name, mister?
Frank Morgan.
I'm out of this, Morgan. Leave me be.
All right. Stay out of it.
Tim, you goddamn lily-livered yellow belly. Morgan's a has-been. Look at him. He's got to be 45 if he's a day. Probably older than that. He's an old man. Got gray in his hair.
You take him then, Zeke. I don't want no part of him.
I'm with Zeke. All them songs and such about Frank Morgan is so much fal-de-rol. I never did believe none of it.
You're a fool, Billy.
Hell with it! Die, Morgan!
Frank shot him, the bullet striking the man just below the throat, shattering the bones there, and blowing out the back of his neck. Zeke pulled his pistol, and Frank's second bullet hit Zeke in the belly. Zeke screamed and doubled over, dropping his pistol on the floor. The six gun discharged, and the bullet hit Tim in the ankle just as he was fumbling for his pistol. Frank quickly stepped to the man and kicked his pistol away, out of reach.
Anybody else?
The man who had died doubled over on the bar suddenly broke wind and fell slowly to the floor, falling right on Tim's broken ankle.
Get him off of me!
Get me a doctor. I'm hard hit, boys.
We're done with this, Morgan. Drink your beer and relax while we look after them still alive.
Frank backed up around the end of the bar, still holding his 45. He picked up his mug of beer and drained it, then signaled the barkeep for another.
I'm crippled for life. The doc will probably have to cut off my leg. Damn you, Morgan. Damn you to the fires of hell for doing this to me.
You brung it on yourself, Tim. Don't blame Morgan.
By God, I blame him. Farley was a pal of mine.
Is Farley the dead man?
Yes, and he was a good man.
Wasn't good enough.
Damn you!
Shut up, Billy, before you get turned into a corpse.
You're a bastard, Morgan. You're a no-good bastard, that's what you are.
Frank waited, saying nothing. The bartender ended the standoff. He reached under the bar and came up with a greener, pointed at Billy.
That's it, Billy. It's over. There's been enough killing. Now stand easy and keep your hand away from your gun.
Billy immediately relaxed. No one in their right mind wanted to mess with a 10-gauge sawed-off shotgun at close range.
You want to leave now, Morgan?
After I finish my beer and get me something to eat.
You're cold, Morgan. You're too damn cold.
I didn't start this trouble.
That's a fact. But Billy's a hothead, and he won't forget this.
That's his problem. You got any hot food?
Got some good-tasting stew, and it's fresh, with some hot baked bread to go with it. I might have some pudding left, too.
Sounds good to me. Put that greener away and fix me some of it, please. I'm a hungry man.
You are the coldest son of a bitch I ever seen in my life.
I'm hurting something awful, and y'all talking about stew and pudding and such. Don't nobody give a damn about me?
Nearest doc is miles away, Zeke.
My belly's on fire, Abel.
Frank moved to a table across the room and sat down, his back to a wall, waiting until the barkeep brought out his food.
Ain't you got nothing to say, Morgan?
Yeah. I'm fixing to eat now. Leave me the hell alone.
Zeke died just as Frank was finishing eating. He had the barkeep put together a sack of scraps for Wolf, then paid his bill as the others watched him.
You just gonna ride away and leave Zeke dead on the floor and Tim with half his ankle blowed off?
What do you want me to do about him?
Well, I don't rightly know, but you ought to do something. You're the cause of it all, ain't you?
You boys are the damnedest bunch I've run into in a moon.
What do you mean, Morgan?
Good Lord.
I'll see ya, Morgan. You can count on that. You and me, Morgan. That will settle up for Zeke and Tim. Count on it, Morgan.
He angled back and forth for a time, until once again picking up the trail of Little Ed and his men. He stayed with the trail until about an hour before sunset, then made camp for the night, not far from a small, fast-running creek. Frank fed Wolf, then fried some bacon and made some pan bread for his supper. Just as he was finishing his second cup of coffee, when the small fire had burned down to only a few coals, he heard the sounds of slow-walking horses.
I tell you, Rich, I smell smoke.
I never said you didn't, Bob. But it was faint and probably drifted in from a long ways off.
And I smell coffee, too.
That's your belly taking over for your nose's business. There ain't nobody within 10 miles of here.
That's a town, Rich. I ain't talking about no town. I'm talking about something real close by. And my smeller don't lie.
A town 10 miles away. A good bet Little Ed and his hands headed there for supplies before riding into the wilderness.
Well, we got a fight shop town anyways. Belle would have our butts if we got caught.
Providing the law didn't hang us first.
Wouldn't mind following them to Val Dooley's hideout. But Little Ed and his two hands come first. Val Dooley's just gonna have to wait.
Frank rolled up in his blankets and went to sleep. At mid-morning of the fifth day out, Frank sat his saddle and stared at the trail he'd been following. Two riders had turned due east, one rider continuing on south.
Now what?
Frank mentally flipped a coin and decided to trail the Lone Rider, having a hunch that was Little Ed. Frank came up on the Lone Rider while he was watering his horse. Stopping about 100 yards back, Frank ground-reined Stormy.
Wolf, you be quiet and stay put.
Then, after removing his spurs, he crept up behind Little Ed.
Stay easy, Ed. I don't want to have to shoot you.
You're gonna have to, Morgan. Because I ain't going back to stand trial for killing that fat tub of guts.
You didn't kill him, Ed. You just grazed his head. Tom is very much alive. But you did shoot off a piece of his ear.
I still ain't gonna go to prison.
Stand still, Ed. I'm taking your pistols. Don't try anything. I'll shoot you.
Ed made no funny moves while Frank disarmed him, stowing the guns in his saddlebags.
Turn around, Ed. Put those handcuffs on, boy. Let's do this legal.
Hell with you, Morgan. I ain't getting myself chained up like a damn animal.
Now get on your horse, boy. We have a long way to go.
Screw you, Morgan!
A crowd gathered along both sides of the street as Frank brought Little Ed Simpson back to town.
Get a rope!
Yeah! Let's hang the bastard! Settle down!
Marshal Wright stepped out of his office, a greener in his hand. There was a big bandage covering one side of his head.
And there'll be no lynching in this town. Ed Simpson will get a fair trial.
That's a better chance than you gave him, Ed.
He's a fool. My pa won't let no one try me.
I think you're wrong about your pa, boy.
Him and ma won't let me go to prison.
I guess we'll see, won't we?
Welcome home, Frank.
Good to be back, Tom. Mighty good.
Welcome home, Frank.
Hi, Laura. You look mighty pretty today.
Kind words, Frank. I know I look a fright. It's this heat.
Frank helped Little Ed down from his horse and led him into the jail, shoving him into a cell. Only then did he remove the cuffs, while Tom stood careful watch in the runaround, the greener at the ready.
You get word of my pa?
We'll make sure he knows you're back, boy. But I can tell you this, there'll be no bail for you. You're locked down until your trial.
We'll see about that, fatso.
Or maybe I'll get lucky and you'll run.
Lucky? What do you mean by that?
Tom lifted the greener.
You'd like to shoot me. wouldn't you, Tubby?
Oh, it'd be the high point of my year, punk.
Out in the office, Frank poured a cup of coffee and sat down.
I imagine someone in town will get word to the Simpsons.
Oh, you can be sure Ryder is already on the way. There were ES hands in town when you brought in the lead. And Big Ed said he wouldn't interfere.
Frank brought the marshal up to date on all that had happened since he had ridden out after Little Ed and his hands.
And Big Ed said he wouldn't interfere? Really? The man just may have a decent streak in him after all.
I think he and his wife both do.
Well, they've damn sure managed to hide it right well for years.
No doubt about that. I'm going to stable the horses and feed Wolf. Then go get me a long hot bath, shave and a haircut, and a change of clothes. My horse and dog smell better than I do.
Well, now that you mention it...